This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. You're very welcome to hour two of the programme. We'll be going to Sergeant Eugene Union Walsh very shortly with our Community Garda information slot. That's coming up after the bingo numbers, and they're just a few minutes down the road. A few of your comments before we go any further. Caller says, I was in the same situation as the girls with TUI. We were stuck in Corfu after being on a cruise ship. We only got back to Dublin yesterday, and 35 people were on the flight. And I know there was an issue with at least one ship. Now, TUI would be closely involved with the Marella company, which sails out of, I think they sail out of both Corfu and Parma, Mallorca as well. And I think Marella is actually owned by TUI, if I'm not mistaken. And I know a number of Marella ships actually couldn't leave passengers off because their IT systems were down as well. And that means people missed their flights. And there was quite a lot of problems in that respect. And our best wishes to anyone who found themselves caught up in those problems. Caller says, I see speed limits in the Sion area are reduced to 60 kilometres an hour. Now, what's happening is Donegal County Council has produced a document which suggests in certain areas that limits will be reduced from 80 down to 60. Now, it's not certainly all 80 kilometre an hour roads, and it's a limited number of roads. It's a draft document that's going to go to public consultation. What Donegal County Council decided to do yesterday was to put that out to public consultation. It basically means that it'll be published very shortly by Donegal County Council, and people will be invited to offer their views, and then people will have the opportunity to go to meetings and contact the council and let the council know what they think about it, and then a decision will be made based on the chief executive report, which will follow that public consultation. And indeed, members are encouraging people to take part in that public consultation. A number of members were, shall we say, had questions about elements of the draft proposal, but the decision was made to put it to public consultation, and that consultation will be getting underway in the coming weeks. So that's the situation as it pertains to the issue of the speed limits in Donegal. Caller says, and this is an interesting one, because I heard an interesting conspiracy theory last night that people were saying that they felt Joe Biden may be very, very ill or something like that because he wasn't seen. And the caller says, where is Joe Biden? Why doesn't he show himself with all this hoo-ha going on? Even a short video of him would do, giving his reasons for standing down. This is very, very odd. And as I said, I know there is a bit of a conspiracy theory doing the rounds in certain circles at the moment, one suggesting that he may be very ill or something like that. I'm not sure that's the case, but we'll see if he does come out with a video in the near future. Caller says, why wouldn't Trump take all the businesses back to America? He wants to make America great again. We in Ireland should be doing the same. His policies, such as doctors being stricken off the register if they're giving hormones to children, I completely agree with. I would love somebody to fight for Ireland, like Trump does for the USA. I think he'll stop the Israel and Gaza war, along with Russia versus Ukraine. Trump is a billionaire. He could easily be retired and lounge on a yacht, but instead he is choosing to make America great again. So says one of our callers. Caller says, I've seen another petrol station is doing a promotion of cheap petrol for the day on Wednesday. This needs to stop as it blocks traffic on main roads and is a real traffic hazard. Last year it was done, Gardaí had to be called to stop it. How are these unsafe practices allowed to happen to facilitate a business? Where is the Road Safety Authority? P.S. The time spent in traffic uses more petrol than they save. I'm not aware of this particular one. I do recall the situation you referred to last year, actually, where a petrol station did have a promotion. Now, there are, it's interesting, depending on where you go in Donegal, there are some very good prices to be had if you shop around. And I know certainly within a 30-minute drive of Letterkenny, you can get variations of 10 cent a litre and more in the price of both unleaded and diesel, compared to the prices you'll pay elsewhere. So, I mean, there are bargains out there. There is cheap petrol out there. I'm not going to mention any particular petrol stations or locations, but, I mean, there are variations in price out there, and that is absolutely the case. It's the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. It's a Tuesday morning. It's 16 minutes past 10. Sergeant Eunan Walsh is sitting directly opposite me, which means it's time for this.
The Community Garda Information Slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero-wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 9126025.
Eoghan, you're very welcome to the show. Good to see you.
Morning, Donald. Thanks for having me.
And you're welcome as always. Great to see you. Now, we're going to begin with a sad story, and that's the fatal collision that occurred on Wednesday last in Kilmacrenan.
Yes, Donald, we'd like to renew our appeal. We're appealing for witnesses following the fatal road traffic collision which occurred on the N56 in Kilmacrenan last Wednesday, the 17th of July, at approximately 11:50 p.m. Gardaí and our colleagues in the emergency service were alerted to a collision involving two cars. The driver and passenger in one of the cars unfortunately suffered fatal injuries, both in their 70s. The driver of the second car, a woman aged in her 40s, was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital for treatment of serious but fortunately non-life-threatening injuries. So we are appealing for any witnesses to this collision to come forward. Any road users who may have had camera footage, including dash cam, and were travelling in the area of Kilmacrenan last Wednesday, the 17th of July, at approximately 11:50 p.m, to make the footage available to Gardaí at Milford. So anybody who has information is to ask to contact Milford Garda Station 07491 53060, or again the confidential line 1-800-666-111, or again any Garda station. And like to again extend our sympathies to the families of the deceased, Patrick McGettigan and his sister Una.
Moving now to the Chrislamore area of Burnfoot.
Yes, Donald, this is a burglary which occurred in the Chrislamore area of Burnfoot last Wednesday morning, the 17th of July, at approximately 5:35 a.m. So Tuesday night, Wednesday morning passed. A male was observed entering a shed of a property in the area, and an attempt was also made to gain entry to the house. The intruder was disturbed and left in a black car with another male. No damage was caused to the property and nothing was stolen. So we'll appeal to anybody who may have been in the area of Chrislamore between 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. last Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, the 17th of July, and again anybody with dash cam, to make the footage available to us, and again to contact Buncrana Garda Station 07493205 40, or again the confidential line 1-800-666-111.
Definitely a concerning one. I mean, someone trying to break into a house at that hour of the morning. Presumably we can assume some people may have been upstairs asleep in the house or whatever.
Yes, would have been disturbed by the occupants,
yeah.
Yes.
And that could have been a very worrying situation indeed. Another burglary, this time in the Muff area.
This is, a burglary at a private residence in the area of Ballybow, Tuir Muff. Again, between Wednesday the 10th of July and Thursday the 18th. Nobody in the house at the time. A family had returned from their holidays, discovered that a number of sheds in the house, at the adjoining the house, had been broken into and a quantity of tools stolen. The car at the house was also entered and searched, nothing taken. And again, we're appealing for anybody who may have observed anything suspicious in the area over the course of that week to make the contact with the Gardaí. So that's the week, Wednesday the 10th of July to last Thursday the 18th of July in the Ballybow Tuir area of Muff, Donald.
And again, always good to just put out that warning that when you're going on holiday, I mean, take whatever security precautions you can before you go.
Yes, again, the usual things. Don't advertise it on Facebook. You may think that your friends are looking at it, but there may be other friends or friends seeing it. Again, if you're going away, you know, leave a light on at night or timer lights, and let your neighbours know or have somebody have a key to check in your house. All the normal things, Donald.
Gardaí investigating criminal damage incident. It happened in Dunfanaghy.
Yes, this is a criminal damage incident which occurred at Pound Street, Dunfanaghy, Donal, last Sunday and Monday between 3:30 p.m. Sunday evening the 14th and 1:30 p.m. on Monday the 15th. A car which had been parked at the location was damaged between those times. Three of the tyres were slashed on the car. And again, anybody with any information that might assist the Gardaí investigation to contact the Gardaí at Milford 07491530060.
And two incidents of criminal damage in the Mall Remelton.
Yes, this is two incidents occurred last Monday night, Tuesday morning, between 7:30 p.m. Monday the 15th and 9:30 a.m. Tuesday 16th. A downstairs sitting room of the house was broken. And then again between 6 p.m. on the Monday and 6:30 a.m. on the Tuesday, the wipers were broken on two vehicles that were parked at a house in the area. And again, we're appealing for anybody who may have been in the area of the Mall Remelton to contact Gardaí if they have any information. The Melton Festival was on at the time, Donal, and would have brought large numbers to the town. So we're hopeful that somebody may have observed something that might be beneficial to an investigation.
Again, criminal damage in this an incident, I think, that was discussed actually on the programme yesterday.
Yes, this Gardaí investigating the criminal damage incident which occurred at a building site in Milltown Convoy. So this would have been Wednesday night, Thursday morning the 18th, shortly after 4:30 a.m. So a very short time span involved. Gardaí were alerted to the fact that a dump truck was on fire at the location. We were notified by the fire services and we were appealing for anybody who may have travelled in the area of Milltown Convoy on the morning and who has dash cam to make it available to Gardaí. And again, any information which may be relevant to the crime, pass to Letterkenny 0749167100.
And it has been determined it was arson.
Yes, sir. Sorry.
Gardaí are appealing for information regarding criminal damage again. This is in Church Road, Bundoran.
Yes, this is last Saturday night, Sunday morning. So between 8 p.m. on Saturday the 20th and 3 p.m. Sunday afternoon the 21st, a car was parked at the Church Road area of Bundoran. Between these hours was damaged. The driver's door was scraped and the boot was keyed. And again, we'd like to hear from anybody who may have observed suspicious activity in the area over the course of the weekend. It would have been a busy time in Bundoran, a lot of people about. So anybody who has any relevant information, contact Gardaí Ballyshannon 0719858530.
And back now to Inishowen for a theft from a car.
Yes, theft from car in the area of Carnamoyle Muff between 11:30 p.m. last Tuesday the 16th and 5:15 a.m. Wednesday the 17th. So sometime Tuesday evening, Tuesday night, a Dell laptop was stolen from the boot of a car. And a second car at the property was also entered and searched, nothing stolen from it. No damage caused to either of the cars, fortunately. And again, two cars at another residence in the area of Carnamoyle Muff were also entered between midnight and 7:30 a.m. on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning the 17th. It looks like the cars were searched and unfortunately nothing was stolen. And again, no damage caused. And also two cars entered in the area of Gort Cormican in Burnfoot on the early hours of Wednesday the 17th. Again, it's between midnight on Tuesday night and 5 a.m. the 17th. No damage was caused to these cars and nothing stolen from them. So our appeal is to anybody who have may travelled in the areas of Carnamoyle Muff, got Cormican Burnfoot with a dash cam between the night of Tuesday the 16th and the morning of Wednesday the 17th to make the footage available to Gardaí. Due to the times involved and the proximity, close proximity of the locations, it's possible that they're connected, Donald. So, yeah. Anybody observed any suspicious activity between those dates, to contact Buncrana Garda Station, please.
And again, security on parked cars, an issue that Gardaí highlights regularly on the programme, and no harm maybe to do so again now?
Yes, I suppose we can, yes. If your car is locked when unattended, regardless of whether you are parking a public place at home. I think the tendency at home is that you lock your door and you may often leave your car unlocked. That's a recipe for disaster, you know. Mm-hmm. Try again to park in a well-lit up area. Store your car keys away from windows and letterbox when parked at your home. And again, don't store cash or valuables in your car. If you must do so in your boot, not in display.
One of the things we've seen Gardaí do more and more is frontline service days where Gardaí come and speak to the public and the RSA come and bring their interactive unit as well. And it's coming at the end of this month to Dunloe.
Yes, next Saturday the 27th at the Mary from Dunloe Festival between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. there will be a frontline services day where ourselves and our other colleagues from the emergency service will be present. Also the RSA interactive unit Shuttle, we call it, will be there, and it's a great unit. It provides a fantastic opportunity for members of the public to practice your driving and hazard perception skills on the car, motorbike, or the simulator. You can experience firsthand the dangers of driving and texting and driver fatigue. Try the brake reaction timer to see how driving environments and speed affect your braking distance, and also learn about tyre safety. Tyres are your only contact with the road when you're in your vehicle. And again, as I said, a range of emergency service will be there on the day. We will also be there to offer crime prevention advice and give property marketing demonstration. So we hope to see as many people as possible there for what would be a great day out for all the family.
And of course, the Mary from Dunloe Festival taking place as well, so there should be a good crowd of people around about Dunloe. A big discussion on the programme yesterday about bicycles and e-scooters on footpaths. Now, we know new bylaws came into effect last year, and you can give us maybe just an update as to what the actual rules are and what the laws are in relation to bicycles and e-scooters
on
footpaths.
I suppose the recent regulations don't apply to e-scooters. We've had it plastered all over our Facebook page. You've shared it for us kindly. We've talked about it on your previously on the Garda slot. So the ignorance of the law, again, is not a defence of the law, but it should be well known. You cannot use your e-scooter on a footpath. You must drive your e-scooter on the road, similar to a vehicle. And you will be liable to receive a fixed charge notice if you were caught driving your e-scooter on a footpath. And the fine is €50.
Yeah.
In relation to bicycles, again, you're not allowed to cycle on a footpath unless there is a designated cycle lane on the footpath, or again, if you are entering or exiting a property, obviously. Cycling on a footpath is not a specific fixed charge notice. However, you could be fined for doing so if your cycling is to be considered without reasonable consideration. So again, you must cycle on the road, not a footpath.
And in terms of, there's plenty of information.
Yes, again,
information and so on.
Yes, anybody who wants the information, it'll be on our Garda Facebook page, but also on the RSA website, www.rsa.ie or citizensinformation.ie. The rules of the road in relation to bikes and e-scooters can be viewed. And again, it's a benefit for all road users to keep up to date with the legislation in relation to bicycles and e-scooters.
A couple of questions from last week that we're going to put to you, and if you don't mind, just to see what answers we have. A caller contacted us to say, my car was damaged while parked in a car park. The driver drove off, leaving me with a large bill. How do I request the CCTV? I was told it can only be requested by the Gardaí.
Well, CCTV can only be requested under data protection legislation, Donal. The best thing for this person to do is to make a direct contact with us to report the matter. We, as part of our investigation, are entitled to make an application on the Data Protection Act for the CCTV and investigate crime and road traffic matters. So I'm asking the caller to please report the matter sooner rather than later, as the CCTV may not remain on the system for long. So that is a road traffic offence, a hit and run leaving the scene of an accident. It may be a case that the car was damaged by stone or something, but it appears from the outset that this was a hit and run road traffic collision.
Can a member of the Gardaí ask you for ID while you're on the street, or do they need grounds to ask for it?
Well, I suppose we have different powers under different statutes, Donal, to ask for your name and address. Gardaí can ask for your name and address if they suspect that you have committed an offence or a crime, maybe a road traffic matter, again, burglary, criminal damage, or public order offences on the streets. So if they suspect that you've given a false or misleading name and address, you can be arrested. So if the member of Garda Síochána Conaill who makes the demand for your name and or address suspects that your name and or address is false or misleading, you can be arrested. And therefore, in many circumstances, you may be asked for ID to verify or clarify your name and or address.
Now, and this is a complicated one, which is grown more complicated by the fact that this references illustrations, which we obviously can't show on the radio. But a caller is asking about the Polestar roundabout in Letterkenny. If you're coming from the Neil T. Blaney Road, i.e. coming past Aldi and the council's public services centre, onto the Polestar roundabout, and you're travelling toward Derry, the Dry Arch, the dual carriageway, etc., the illustrations show a right-hand lane should only be used to travel in the Derry direction, but recently, and more frequently, as people get used to the new layout, some cars are using the middle lane when they see a queue on the right-hand lane, and then they're jumping the queue. And if enough cars do that, they will eventually stop cars exiting onto the Remelton Road, and that's causing gridlock on the roundabout, and it's causing confusion as well for cars that are looking to exit onto the Port Road and the Remelton Road area. Is it illegal to use the middle lane to travel in the Derry direction, or is it just a recommendation to use the right lane? If there is no sanction or penalty against the middle lane, then people will continue to use it to jump.
Well, we actually checked this out last night. Grania kindly drove around the roundabout 10 or 15 times. So when you approach the Polestar from the Neil T. Blaney Road, which is from the council officers coming out of town, the road opens into three lanes at the roundabout. So the left-hand lane is for going into town only. If you wish to travel on the out towards the N56, out the four lane, you can use the right-hand lane or the middle lane to do so. There is signage in place and there are road markings on the approach to the roundabout to indicate that this is the case. Now, the problem is, in the middle lane, you can also go straight on towards Remelton.
Yeah.
And what's happening is traffic is getting backlogged maybe from the Ballyrean roundabout to Remelton, and people in the middle lane tending to go out towards the four lane are getting stuck in that traffic, and they're attempting then to turn right into the inner lane, causing some difficulties. So that would be the problem there.
And is the use of the two lanes permissible because you're moving on to two lanes on the four lane?
You're coming
so
off.
So theoretically, there are two lanes to go onto, but what's possibly causing the issue is there are traffic lights in the middle, and that's where the traffic light is stopping them.
Yes, well, the problem is that you could get stuck behind a car that's in the middle lane intending to go towards Remelton, and it's maybe backlogged in traffic going out that way. And therefore, you're in the middle lane. Ideally, the two lanes would be flowing round the roundabout and out the four lane at the same time. But the middle lane sometimes gets stuck because of delays going out towards Remelton. Now, I'm told that the new active travel plan for the Ballyrean roundabout will alleviate those problems and the traffic will be moving quicker.
And the other thing the council is saying, obviously, is that there's regularly realignment of the times and the timings on the lights based on traffic patterns and so on. I think in fairness, the Polestar does seem to be working reasonably well.
It is, yes.
It does seem to be working reasonably well, in fairness. And so that is the situation. Caller, to answer your question, yes, either of the two lanes can be used. But yes, there is a risk of getting caught in traffic in the middle one. So Sergeant Eunan Walsh, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Donald. Thank you.
And we'll see you again in the future. Another Community Garda information slot available, of course, next week on the programme. If you want to look back on any of today's issues, it'll be posted on our webpage once the show is over. It'll also be posted on the Garda Síochána Facebook page as well. And there'll be obviously plenty of news stories. Michaela's working away to get the news stories up online as well. So you can look back on and listen back to the whole thing, of course, as well on the podcast of the programme. But you know, for now, thank you very much indeed. And you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show, 24 minutes to 11 o'clock, halfway through the programme already. It's amazing how fast time goes when you're sitting in this seat. Just to remind you, 086 60 25000 for your texts or WhatsApps. You can call us 074 91 25000. Caroline taking your calls and producing. Shannon taking your calls as well. We're at Highland Radio on X. We're Highland Hub on Facebook. And comments at Highland Radio if you wish to send us an email. Now, we're joined in studio by a very important person with regards to innovation in Inishowen. Inishowen Innovation has appointed its first entrepreneur in residence. And I'm delighted to say that we are joined in studio by said person. It's someone that we know from of old, Lee Tedstone. Good morning.
Good morning, Donald. How are you?
Very well indeed. Lee, entrepreneur in residence. Now, we're used to hearing of artists in residence and authors in residence, and entrepreneur in residence now is a very interesting concept. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so the entrepreneur in residence role came about really, it's a voluntary role from myself. It's at the II, like you said, Inishowen Innovation, and Inishowen Innovation Hub is set up really to support startup tech companies or remote workers or digital nomads, as they're more commonly known. The centre's a great centre, great facilities. Amory McLaughlin is the manager down there. It's supported by Donegal County Council and Enterprise Ireland. And I occasionally work there. But while I was there over the last few months, I got talking to some of the tenants there, got talking to Amory, and that really developed into this notion of being able to support those entrepreneurs or tech startups. So I have a lot of experience. I have 25 years experience building, buying and selling software companies. So experience is valuable to some of those people. So that's really how it came about, Don.
Your own background, you've worked in various businesses in Inishowen and further afield. You've also been across the Atlantic in the US.
Yeah, I spent 6 years in Houston, Texas. So I suppose just a bit about my own background. Like I say, I'm 25 years in the industry, but last 10 years of my life I spent working for a company, Aviva, not to be confused with the insurance company. It's a UK technology company that primarily operates in the energy sector. But while I was there, a big part of my role was working on mergers and acquisitions. So again, I have a lot of experience of, you know, acquiring businesses, selling businesses, and really helping those businesses get set up for success and growth. So I've just found that, you know, I think when you look at the Northwest region, Donegal, Inishowen, there's a lot of really, really good talent, a lot of really good businesses starting up, but it's a bit of a lonely place sometimes to start, particularly in starting any business is very, very difficult, but particularly in technology or software, because there's a lot of sunk cost at the start and stuff, and it, you know, can take a long time to get it off the ground. So, you know, just having, you know, a bit of a shoulder to lean on, a bit of moral support and a bit of guidance around how you might do that, I found is very, very valuable for a lot of people. So for me, last year we had sold Aviva to a company called Schneider Electric. And at that point I exited the business. So I decided after moving home from Texas, when I'm back living home in Bonkrana, I thought, well, you know, how do I give a bit back? So I've got this experience and I've got a bit of time and stuff. So it's great for me just to be part of the whole initiative there.
And what basically happens is you're in Initial Innovation as this entrepreneur in residence. Mm-hmm. People go there with an idea. They may have something in their head that might work in the tech sector. You have all this experience. You kind of know what's going to fly, what isn't going to fly. And you can also help them in terms of venture capital, I presume. You can help them in terms of, you know, how to look at the growth and development of a company. Maybe when the right time to sell on is, maybe when the right time to buy is. And they can come to you for that advice.
Exactly right, Donald. You know, what you find, particularly in these tech startups, is a lot of the people start them up are typically, you know, software engineers or some form of engineers that started up. So they have really, really good subject matter, really good innovative ideas.
But having a clue about business.
Yeah, but I mean, it's business is difficult, right? You know, yeah. There's a whole bunch of back office, you know, HR, finance, like you mentioned, you know, trying to get access to capital, yeah. Loans and all that good stuff. So it's really helpful for a lot of these people just to have that bit of, you know, if you want to call it mentorship, right, to navigate around that. And you can, you know, when you're on that journey as an entrepreneur, you can, I suppose, burn through a lot of time or waste a lot of time and it's a distraction from the core of the value of what it is you're trying to do. So again, just having that bit of direction and a bit of mentorship can be really valuable to some of these people.
Would it be fair to say that over the course of your 25 years, you can see where something is going to work, you can see where something maybe isn't going to work, and sometimes you might be able to give someone the steer and say, look, I'm not sure that element of it is going to work, but I'm looking at what you're doing here, maybe focus on that because I'm not sure the other thing will fly. I mean, I'm sure you have perspectives that you can look and say, yeah, I saw someone try this before and it wasn't a huge success.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, one of the sayings that I find myself using quite a bit is a solution looking for a problem, right? Mm-hmm. So people have sometimes very, very clever, innovative ideas, but they haven't fully defined the problem statement around it. So, like, for example, I had a meeting in the AI just last week and someone was looking at a particular type of drone technology, but there was, you know, issues around how they were going to apply that drone technology and apply the software to it that maybe they had recognised but hadn't maybe fully formed a solution around. Whereas based on the experience I had, there was other applications of that same technology and same software that took away those restrictions around airspace and stuff like that. So, yeah, just those kind of anecdotal, you know, pointers and stuff that just based on my experience, again, you know, people seem to find very, very helpful.
As you said, this is a voluntary thing that you're doing to give back to the community. Presumably, you're also going to be getting back into business yourself as well. I mean, once a buyer and seller, always a buyer and seller, I suspect.
That's right. Yeah. In fact, there's five or six different projects that I'm involved in. Very exciting one here. I'm working with a company in Letterkenny, Envolve. Barry Harper's the CEO there. Brilliant connected worker software. It's a great tool, great technology, and it's on a great growth path. There's a company in Singapore I'm working with, another company in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm about to get involved with a company in California, an AI-based company. So, again, you know, I keep myself busy doing all that stuff. There's a mix of investments and board advisory roles. But the one in Bonkrana, I'm just excited about it because, look, you know, Bonkrana is my hometown. I've lived abroad for quite some time. I love Bonkrana. I love Inishowen. Love Donegal. I'm a proud Irishman. So I'm incredibly proud to be able to give a bit back and help those businesses out. The centre's a thriving centre. Like I say, it's set up to encourage these, you know, technology startups. But there's also hot desking space there, you know, so anybody can come and, you know, use the facility. So, like I say, this notion of digital nomads. Believe it or not, Donal, I was doing some research before the interview and I found out that in Donegal alone, there's over 5,000 digital nomads. So these are people that are just working remotely. So if you think about it, and you know, and the reason they're doing that is because, You know, we have, what's a beautiful county they live, I think that goes without saying. But there's some really good facilities and resources. You have a really good work-life balance. And we have some amazing, talented people here. But if you think of that as a workforce of 5,000 people in Donegal, it's like arguably, if you think of that as a company, it's one of the biggest employers in Donegal. So it's great to see these initiatives, you know, being supported by Donegal County Council. You know, Maeve Conaghan and them in Enterprise Ireland do a really, really good job. You know, Airnac down in the CoLab building, Patsy Donaghy there here in Letterkenny, ATU. You know, these are all, you know, public sector investment initiatives that are really very important and critical to supporting that whole ecosystem of digital workers.
People may well be listening to your voice and your name and thinking, Lee Tedstone, I've heard that before somewhere. Now, I do recall, I think, on one or two occasions when you were in Houston and there were storms or major weather events, you were on with Greg to speak about the issues you were having at home. But even before that, and you and I know each other from of old, because back in the days of Buncrana Town Council, it wouldn't have just been Lee, it would have been Councillor Lee.
That's right, yeah. Mayor
way
Lee.
Back in the day. It wasn't Lee, Mayor. I was going to get to that one, yeah.
yeah, it was the 2009 election, so I was a first-time candidate and ran and topped the poll and ended up mayor, so that was it was an exciting time in my life as well. Again, you know, that was really what kick-started the whole community involvement for me. A lot of people say, you know, politicians can't do this or they can't do that, but I think when you're smart and you box clever about how you be a politician, I think you can make a lot of good, make a lot of good positive contribution to the community. And for me, that's what local politics are about, really. So,
and the fact you got out of local politics and moved to Houston, I mean, that was that you didn't have to move to Houston. That was just a business thing. I mean, now you're back. You're living in Buncrana again. You're reconnecting through the II initiative and your entrepreneur in residence role there. Are you perhaps looking now toward Lifford and thinking, I wonder, should I get back into that again?
No, not at all. Well, thanks for asking. Now, look, you know, I love politics. I love the whole subject matter of politics. But, you know, being a politician can be frustrating as well. And it's not for me. So when I came back, I'll be honest, I did think hard about the local elections just passed and stuff. Yeah. And I said, no, that's not for me. So, but I thought, you know, there's other things I can do, right, to give a bit back or help contribute. So, for example, the initial innovation, the II Hub is one of my things. I'm on the board of iCare, that people know, for children with autism in Buncrana. I'm a big advocate of men's mental health as well, and I've done some work for some fundraising and stuff for Insight Inishowen. So, for me, politics is not the future, but you know, community contribution absolutely is.
The entrepreneur in residence at the Inishowen Innovation Buncrana Hub. Thanks indeed for speaking to us today. And if anyone is looking for advice in Inishowen on potential ideas they may have, as you say, a lot of people have great ideas but maybe don't know where to go in terms of business, you're the man that can perhaps give them the steer they need.
Absolutely, no problem. Or alternatively, reach out to Anne-Marie at the II Hub in Buncrana, and she'll always be happy to help, and I'm there a couple of days a week as well. So,
yep. Yeah. Lee, thanks very much indeed, and we wish you all the best in the venture and all the best to those who cross your path with their ideas. As you said, over 5,000 digital nomads in Donegal, people working from home, and yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, if it was 5,000 people working for one company, we'd be making a big hoo-ha about it. So there is a lot of that work going on out there. It's the 9 till noon show. It's approaching 12 minutes to 11. Take a short break. Back after these. Now, we are going to John McCarter, who is the chair of the Lough Swilly and RNLI station. John, a very good morning to you. It's a pleasure to talk to you as always. John, you're here, John, because we got a query, and I want to read the query very briefly, and it goes like this.
Right.
I'm wondering where the World War II mine that stood on Main Street, Buncrana, in front of the church for many years and was used as a coin collection for the RNLI fundraising is. It was a large metal bomb used in the Irish Sea to sink ships in World War II. I'd love to see it back where it came from, as we as Buncrana lost enough historic items over the years. It's something I'm sure can be returned. It had the RNLI colours and stripes on it and it was part of Buncrana. During COVID, the air raid siren was returned to the fire station and rang out. It was fantastic to hear. I'd love it if it could be rung once a week. Any way anyone has any news on the whereabouts of the mine? And that query came to us from Brendan. And unless I'm very much mistaken, Buncrana wasn't the only place that had a mine being used and repurposed for fundraising for the RNLI. But John, can you answer Brendan's question? Where has Buncrana's mine gone?
Well, I have to unfortunately answer with some bad news, and that the mine has gone to wherever mines go. The mine, well, let me tell you a story of it as best I know, Donald. The mine was originally discovered plugging a gap in a ditch somewhere near Malin Head by one of our very enthusiastic young volunteers, a fellow called Brian Farran, who was with us at the very beginning of our RNLI journey. And Brian saw this literally in a ditch and said, this would be a great item if we could get it cleaned up and get it as a collection box, which is exactly what he did. And with the aid of the then lifeboat operations manager, Liam McGee, they got it refurbished and set up on the main street. So you're absolutely right. That's where the mine that was there. And it was there on the main street for quite a few years and was quite a in the early years, certainly, of the RNLI, was a very good collection point, and people donated to the RNLI through the box. However, as time went on, it did kind of fall off in its popularity. And I think about 10 or 12 years ago, maybe now, it got coped over one night. I don't know exactly what happened. We never really did find out. But it was knocked off its perch and was in the middle of the road. So we got it lifted and took it to a local engineering shop to see what could be done with it. And as it turned out, part of the reason that it had fallen away is that it had rotted very considerably through at the bottom end of it, and was a lot of water had lain in it, etc., and it wasn't no longer sort of waterproofed, etc.
Yeah.
And the estimation at that time was that this is beyond repair, so it unfortunately was scrapped. But that's what happened. Yeah. But you're right that mines of that type were in this collection boxes for the RNLI.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly recall seeing them in other areas as well, and I do recall the one in Buncrana. I mean, is it a matter that each individual area tracks down an old mine and repurposes it, or was there a period where the RNLI coordinated this from HQ? Because I was just having a little look on the internet myself, actually, and I came across a couple of references to mines being used as collection boxes, and one of them being Poole in Dorset, which is where RNLI headquarters is, but there was references to it in Birkenhead near Liverpool, references to it in Weymouth, references to it in Girvan in Scotland, and in all cases it did appear to be for the RNLI.
Right. Well, of that I'm not absolutely sure. Maybe that's where Brian got the idea initially for us, because as a very young volunteer with us back in the late 80s, and he probably saw these sort of things in other places and thought, wouldn't that be a great idea for us? So I dare say it's one of those ideas that grew legs after somebody started it.
Yeah.
I don't think the RNLI got involved to coordinate it as such, but yes, they were. I mean, they're a very unusual item. In fact, we still have one, I think it's a World War One mine out at Fort Dunree, where, as you know, I'm involved as well. And while it's not a collection point, it certainly evokes a lot of interest in our visitors out there because of the nature of the thing that it is, and the history of mines and mines in the area and in the off the coast during World War One and Two.
Yeah, I have to be honest. I always wondered, was it slightly ironic that mines were being used as collection points for the RNLI, given that mines are there to sink ships and the RNLI is there to save sailors' lives? I mean, there is a certain amount of irony in using mines as a collection point.
Yeah, it's not dissimilar to another thing that we did, so I was involved in some time back, was using the story of the Irish regiments and divisions in World War One to promote peace and reconciliation.
Yeah.
You know, it seems ironic, too, that you use battlefield experiences to try and bring communities together.
But then
again it's one of those things that work.
But then again, the Bible does talk about turning swords into plowshares, and maybe turning mines into collection points for raising money to save seafarers. Yeah. Maybe it makes absolute sense in that context.
Well, it's certainly does. And you know, a C mine is something that, that does catch people's attention, yeah. And particularly sitting on a street as it was in Buncrana there. Yeah. And I suppose too, with the way things have gone, you know, more and more to cashless transactions and that, there's not so much spare change knocking about now either. I think, you know, yeah. the popularity of those things has waned a bit because of the move to cashless and credit card transactions and all that sort of stuff.
I think you're getting to the point where what's going to be more important now in collection points like that is going to be to have a little electronic doodad to the side where someone can press the 1, 3, or 5 euro button and tap their phone onto it, because if you're going to get donations, that's the way they're going to start coming.
It has started to go that way quite absolutely. A bit.
John McArdle, always a pleasure to speak to you, and thanks indeed for speaking to us this morning and giving us that insight. So sadly, the mine shall not be returning to Buncrana, but it's good to get the clarification. And John, thank you very much indeed.
Not at all. Always good to talk to you, Donal.
Thank you, John. Goodbye. That's John McArdle there, John, chair of the Lochswilly Ornellai in Buncrana. Going to go to a break very shortly before news headlines. Before we do, want to say a happy 16th birthday to Katie Robinson, celebrating her birthday in Donegal. Lots of love from Mam, Dad, James, Grandad Bert, Sally and Boots. Also, please wish our parents, Patsy and Sadie Grant from Torna Bratley, a very happy 50th wedding anniversary. Congratulations and best wishes from your daughters, sons-in-law and all your grandchildren. And a very special lady, Ursula McGlinchey in Letterkenny, celebrated her birthday this week. Happy birthday, Ursula. And absolutely happy birthday, Ursula, from me as well. And I must call down, it's been very remiss of me not to. Ursula, you are indeed a very special lady, and may you have had a great birthday this week and many, many more of them.